if you would, with tonight, something that I've been working on with the kids in the back, I'm kind of going to bring forward to let those of you that are here kind of see what we've been doing. But the message the Lord put on my heart, and this Christmas, on Christmas Day, 1994, is when I heard the gospel presentation presented for the first time, where it made all the sense mixed with all the religion that I was brought up in. And when I walked out of church that Christmas morning in 1994, there was no doubt that burden that was in my heart, in my life, the things that I was struggling with, absolutely changed that moment when, for the first time, Jesus went from here into my heart. And during that service, my son who's here now was only 6 months old at that time, and during the service, being that I was new to the church, didn't want to put him in the nursery, so he was in the service. So it ended up, because he was getting loud, I ended up in the foyer in a kind of a church this side, pretty much the same setup. And to know where you were at the exact time and place and moment, all of that of that day is so clear in my mind that I know that I know that I know in my heart, when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. So that's kind of a little bit of my story, but tonight we're going to look at some stories from the Bible, and then I want you to kind of think, what is your story? What do you have that you can look back to? Because if I was to go around the room and ask when you were all born, you would give me your birth date, so you don't remember that because you were a baby. But at the same time, we all have our birth dates. We can recall back to that just like that. But my question I have for you tonight, and I hope we can get that settled, is if you don't know or you don't have a place in time that you have settled in your heart of a day that you didn't just think about Jesus, but allow the Holy Spirit to work in through you in your understanding of the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and allow that truth to come into your heart, where, as the Bible terms used in the stories that we're going to see, it's the individuals, when they heard the written words that they had in the time or the situations they were in, the phrase they used was, "I believe." And that is like one of the most important things, because, again, I can't look in the hearts of anyone who's here, but Jesus can. And the encouragement tonight is that if you don't have a story to tell, then maybe tonight, through this message, you'll be able to get your story to where, for the first time, the gospel came into my heart, and my life is going to be changed from this moment forward. So, let's start in the book of Psalms. We'll get right into the Bible. The book of Psalms. Psalm 66. Psalm 66 and verse number 16. Psalm 66:16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." So I'm going to give you a list of verses that we're going to go through, and then I'm going to put all of those together to the stories that we got. So let's now turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse I'm giving you all time to get there. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." And then the last verse we'll turn to is, you can kind of see where the scripture is taking us. Matthew in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading in number, verse 13. Matthew 5, 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither does man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that is in the house." So, with the verses we're looking at, what I want to try to help you with in those is that we are the light, and the light is your testimony, so to say. So the title of the message, if I was to title this, is, "What is your story?" What is your story? I kind of gave you mine a little bit on what happened to me Christmas Day, but through the message, through what we're looking at, my prayers, more importantly, is if you don't have a day, a time, and an hour that you can look to in your heart and say within yourself, "I know that I know that I know that I'm giving my heart to Jesus," then I would pray that tonight be that night. I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping that everyone has that in their heart, that story that you can recall back on. But with that, now I encourage you, as that scripture says, don't hide that story. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus has done for you. Don't put it, like the scriptures say, don't put it under a basket and hide it. Let your light shine that you can show others. When you're in the workplace, when you're around others, people are watching. And that's what changed my life, because I watched one man, before I became a Christian, his actions in the workplace, the things that he did, I was actually jealous, because that guy had so much peace. And there did come a time where I asked him one day, I was like, "How are you always so happy?" And he gave me his testimony. He told me his story. And that kind of stuck in my mind, and that was quite some time before I actually got saved. But having that in mind and just hearing things, so my encouragement to you is, those who have a story, don't hide it. And especially in the times that we're living in, because the world isn't getting any better. Like Brother Joel asked, pray for our country. It's not getting any better. So let's go to the book of Acts in chapter number 8. Book of Acts, chapter 8, and then I am going to begin reading in verse number 26. Acts 8:26. And before I get into this, I'm just kind of open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you as I did my introduction, Lord, of what I would expect everyone to see from this tonight. Lord, I just ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit and the stories and that we're going to look at that are not really stories but truths of things that took place in the past. And certainly, Lord, I would ask that you would stir our hearts through these stories to help encourage us to find a story in our heart that we can share with others in the future. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And just kind of look at reading through this, some of the things I'm going to point out that's real interesting in this story. A lot of you probably already know it, but verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this: He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. What's that word say? Rejoicing. So that there is like one of the words that I wanted to point out. Do you think when that man, who's just on the back of a chariot, heading back home, reading some scripture, because obviously he had Isaiah, and he's reading the scripture, and do you think what he was reading and then not really understanding, do you think that he was thinking, after coming home from this trip, my life is going to change this day? Probably not. And then one of the other things that I found real interesting is when you look at it, it's Philip. He was prepared to go at the moment the Lord called him to go. So again, if we have a testimony to share, and you feel compelled to take your testimony and share it with someone else, that testimony, your testimony is going to change the life of someone else. It's like you should be ready to go in an instant. As we kind of read in the opening verses, don't hide your light, but let your light shine. And don't be fearful of those who don't know the Lord, because obviously when they come to know the Lord, if they allow Him into their life, Because if you all knew my history before I trusted Jesus, you probably would not want to be around me. And Pastor always jokes about his upbringing and stuff and being in the street. I lived a very rough life in the street. But when the Lord changed my heart, gave me all new desires, I was able to move on. So another thing that I really found interesting in the story is when they were leaving Jerusalem and traveling back to where they were headed, it says that they were headed into desert land. So I don't know, if you really think about it, it's like all of a sudden the way God works things is He'll put things in that situation that can be used. So how many of you ever really seen a water, like a body of water, that's capable of allowing two men to go into? Because that's what the story says. They went into the water, both of them, and he was baptized. So I know, like, scholars would say it was probably an oasis or something like that. But you know what? It's like the Lord knew where the Ethiopian eunuch was going to be, and that Philip was going to be there at the right time to show him what he needed to see. And that's very interesting how God will put things in our lives that will help us to accomplish what He wants done. And there's no doubt He wanted that Ethiopian eunuch to trust Him as Lord and Savior. And for that man to think about it, even to have the scripture that he was reading. So in most of my studies of the Bible, eunuchs were in higher authority, but they were still slaves. So that man was blessed to have the scriptures in his hand to be able to read those things that helped him to see the truth. And that's where it's always good to have a gospel tract handy that you can hand out to someone. But working with the kids in the back, what I'm trying to instill in them is that they have a story to tell. And I was blessed after going through this story. The first time that I taught this, Harper kind of said, "Hey, I have a story." And it was, she told me all about VBS and how she was able to, with everything that they put the time and effort into that, she was able to give her testimony. And then another opportunity I had, which is kind of the next story, but going through that story, I was able to get Hayden to tell me his testimony. And he was telling me about how when he was one day just felt led to speak to God, and he told me the place, he was on his front porch. So again, working with the kids in the back, I'm trying to develop in them that they had that story to remember, so that whenever it comes up, they're always going to have that in their heart that they know where they were. Because Satan's going to come around and he's going to try to say, and I remember this more so when I was a younger Christian, but he always had asked, "That ain't all true. Just give up. Those people that you're around, they want you to kind of live the way they're living." But I'm glad that I had two men that were in my life that took the time and didn't give up on me and cared. And they were always there encouraging me. Like, "Hey, brother, you need to be in church. You need to be in church as much as possible." And if it wasn't for their faithfulness and helping me get through and being on me constantly and encouraging me, they never beat me up. They never said, you know, when I wasn't around, they never, you know, said, "Hey, you know, why weren't you here?" or anything like that. It was, "Hey, we missed you. Hope to see you again." And I hope that's the spirit that we develop in this church as we begin to grow, because we're just starting off. The way I look at it, we're building on what we have. Pastor's got a lot of vision. His heart is right for our community, and the outreaching and different things that he's trying to do, what he's trying to accomplish, it's like, it's a blessing to just be a part of it, because I can see things happening. So I want to go to the next story, and that story is going to be just one book over, Acts chapter 9. So, in the Ethiopian eunuch story, there were some good things that we've seen, things that we know without a doubt, God put everyone that needed to be in their place, and the things that he needed in that place to accomplish what he wanted done, it was all there. So, Acts chapter 9, I'm going to begin in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told of thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this men how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority of the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So, here we have the story, or kind of the testimony, of Saul of Tarsus, a man who certainly was persecuting the Christians before he became Paul, and was intended on going and doing a great slaughter, and taking out anybody, as the scriptures say, that was in that way. What do you think that way was? Acting like a Christian. So he was certainly, at that point in his life, not a very good man. And I said that to say, regardless of your testimony, regardless of where you're at in life, what you're going through, no matter how much you're beating yourself up and trying to say that, you know what, I don't believe God loves me, God had so much compassion, and look at, even in the scriptures, it says God had a plan for him. God had his life all set out exactly what he wanted Saul to do, and certainly there was no doubt a change in Saul's life that day. So with that, I want to go to the last portion of Scripture. We're going to the book of Acts. So a lot of things happened in the conversion of Saul, where even though Ananias had fear of Saul, he still did what God commanded. Did he hide his light under a basket? Nope. He took what he had. He trusted the Lord. And there's going to be situations in our life that we're going to confront people and be in situations that are pretty much thinking like they're out of your control. But you know what? God promises that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And there's no doubt in my mind, if your heart is in tune with the Lord and you feel compelled to reach out to anyone with the gospel, there's no doubt in my mind, and I've seen these things in my own life, situations that I was in. I'll tell you a story about when I was very young. A close friend of mine, before we get to Acts 26, he was unique. Brother Tim was a unique guy. Loved to pray, loved the Lord, had a great testimony, just always willing to talk to people, was out in the street. Brother Tim was different. I'm just going to say that. So one of my coworkers had invited me to come to his house for his birthday. Now, this gentleman had just gotten saved and knew of my testimony. And one day when Tim and I were hanging out, we met with my friend George, and Tim had given him his testimony to encourage him. So George had a birthday party, and his whole family was coming. So we lived in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, and if you ever heard of Paterson, New Jersey, it's night and day from what we lived in. Paterson at that time was very, very rough neighborhood to go into. So he invited us to a birthday party at night. So Tim and I, we get in his truck, and Tim was supposed to give his testimony at the party to encourage the family. So as we're traveling, we get outside of George's house, and Tim, as always, is fumbling through his thing. He's like, I need gospel tracts. I need this. He goes to his car, and he's trying to find things. So I stepped out of the truck. I'm standing on the sidewalk in front of my friend's house, waiting for him to come out. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I caught this guy, just coming at me. And I had a gospel tract in my hand, and I turned to give it to the guy, and he's like standing there, knife in his hand, and he's about ready to like do wrong. And I was like, put the gospel tract up, and I was like, hey, do you know Jesus? And just caught him off guard. Long story short, we never made it to the party. Tim and I witnessed to this guy who basically was wanting $20 because he spent his money on drugs to where his fiance at the time wanted him to go to the store to buy food for their infant, and he spent the money on drugs. And he was thinking that he's going to get $20 from us because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time of night. And so we witnessed to that gentleman. He trusted the Lord. We ended up taking him to his house. Tim gave the guy the $20 that he spent. We met his wife, our fiance at that time, met her, and was able to share the gospel with her. Didn't go over well, but we were explaining, it's like, hey, your fiance had a change of heart. It's like, he trusted the Lord this night. Well, skipping on out into the future, both of them ended up getting saved and became in a big church that was in the area. Both of them were serving to the last that I knew of them. So you just don't know where you're going to be, how things are going to go. And George was like, the next day he's like, why don't you come to my party? And when we told him what happened, he's like, all right, no problem, it's all good. So, Acts 26. I'm going to get you out early. How's that sound? I'm watching the time. So, now, what I want to present here is the opposite side. Paul is giving his testimony now, telling his story of what took place in his life. And there are some things in the end of this that I'm going to compare with the other story that we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. And I'm going to make a couple statements and we'll be out of here. So Acts 26, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most greatest sect of our religion, I live the Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thou be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily threw with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having receiving authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I pushed them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I pursued them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard the voice speak unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things which will appear unto thee. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. When upon King Agrippa, I was not disappointed unto heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and the Jews. But showed first unto them in Damascus and Jerusalem, in the coast of Judea, that should repent and turn to God. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto the day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses should come, that Christ should suffer and be found the first that should rise from the dead and show the light unto the people. And he thus spake for himself. And Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning has made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persecuted, that none of these things are hidden from him, for these things will not be done in the corner. And King Agrippa, Paul says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then said unto Paul, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. So I know that's a lot of reading, but it is still the whole testimony of Paul before Agrippa. And when you start telling your stories to people and you start bringing out truth, what I see clear in this story is this gentleman was like, hey, you're crazy. And that's what's going to happen when you start telling your testimony. There's going to be people who just don't want to believe it, don't want to hear it. And they're saying things like, you're mad. What are you talking about? But the sad thing about this story is Paul showing his testimony, speaking all the truth. Agrippa says these sad words, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And certainly from that, we have to realize that if that was his final testimony, then he's not in heaven. And Paul did everything he could to share with them the truth of what took place. So again, my encouragement to you all here that are here tonight, don't hide your story of your testimony under a basket, but any opportunity you get to share it, present what you have, what happened in your life, because obviously only you know what really took place, and if you really have led Jesus into your heart, and that your heart is transformed, because with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So it's not just what you think in your head, but if nothing ever changes in your heart, then you're just going through motions that really have no eternal hope for you. And certainly I would say with all my heart, what I'm trying to share with you is that when Jesus came into my life, it was transformed, it was changed. In that moment, as the scriptures say, in the twinkling of an eye, my life was transformed from who I used to be to a new life, a new Christian, born into his family, be called his child. And certainly the differences that I want you to see here is Agrippa went away almost persuaded. But if you look back at the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, when he heard the story of what Jesus did for him, how'd he go away? Remember what I asked you to read? Rejoicing. He was happy. I guarantee when he went back to his family, he was so excited to tell the news. You ain't gonna believe what happened coming back from Jerusalem. And this is where I get the kids all excited, because if you think about it, when Philip was told to go tell him what was going on, Philip just went crazy. He was running. He's chasing after that chariot, and he got up to it, and he's behind the chariot, and then the Ethiopian eunuch said, come on up here. But see, Agrippa, King Agrippa, he got the whole story, and then you got people on the sidelines who are like, ah, don't want to listen to him. He's crazy. We need to know who he was. He killed those Christians. And now it's like Paul saying, that's not me. That's not who I am. So with that said, I'm going to wrap it up. 2 minutes before 8. Got you out early. Not much early, but we're early. So I'm going to close with this. And if I could get everyone to bow their heads, not looking up, and I'm going to ask a question that with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm just going to ask this. Does everyone who's here tonight have a story that they can look back on without a shadow of a doubt? And you might not know all the specifics, like in my testimony, I'll never forget where I was, when I was, how it happened, everything that was involved in the day.